Welcome to the seventh episode of 1306 Live. I am your host, Andrew Gabriel. Alongside me is, well, what's your nickname nowadays on Twitter? It's the casual, for the casual fan, I believe.
It's still the for the casual fan. I haven't changed it in a while. Nothing has came up as of recently to change it, but
it doesn't come off well.
That day will come. That day will come.
Either way, Jaden Becker is with me today, as always. How are you?
I'm doing good. Doing really good. Went to the beach the other day. It was nice. The waves are pretty crazy.
That's dope.
So, that's alright. Doing good.
I wish I lived near a beach that I could go to. There's one in like a creek, but it's disgusting. But, this is the second episode of the week. It's usually on Thursday, but hey, life. So it's Friday now, and we'll be talking about NXT, AEW. The two huge shows took place on Wednesday night. And we're just going to be going through them, giving our thoughts, and then a quiz segment, which is tailor-made, in my opinion, for Mr. Article Tom over here. So
I hope so.
Yeah. Maybe not in the way you think it is, but it is. All right.
Okay.
So we're going to start with NXT, and we're just going to run through the matches. Tegan Nox defeats Candice LeRae, Mia Yim, and Dakota Kai in a number one contender elimination match. Do you want to give your thoughts first?
Yeah, I thought she was good. I haven't seen a lot of Tegan Nox as of late, just me not watching NXT as much, but I like the way she wrestles, but I'm not a big fan of her facial expressions. I don't know, that might just be me, but like her shocked face just doesn't look like a shocked face to me. It looks like, I don't know, it's just like, it's like you put a mask on and like that's like the face you made. I don't know. Like that, I don't know. I thought her reactions were a little weird throughout the match, and that just could be her thing. But that's the only thing I would say about her. Either way, I did like the match. I did like that she came out on top. I'm a big fan of Dakota Kai. I think she's doing great. And right now, something came out with her saying that her being matched up with Raquel Gonzalez has been compared to Shawn Michaels with Diesel. So
that's a pretty
interesting comparison there. They tried to do that in the past with many, you know, it's just a thing in professional wrestling with the technical skill with the big guy. So yeah, I like it. And I like what they're doing with that push there.
Yeah. So I am really, really happy to see Tegan Nox getting a title shot. She has had two pretty bad knee injuries in quick succession. Mm-hmm. And yeah, she's had a really tough road in the past couple years. So she's finally getting her opportunity after some of the worst luck health-wise I've seen in a while. And, you know, she's a quality wrestler. If fans were there, she'd be a fan favorite. She's just, okay. Her facial expressions are a bit off. But hey, wrestling won't end tomorrow, so she has time to grow. So, just a quality babyface in every sense, and I truly think that I'm just excited to see this. I'm very excited to see this match with, oh my god, who's the champion right now? Oh my god, Io Shirai. Yeah.
Shirai.
That's important, I should know. Anyway, Timothy Thatcher defeats Oney Lorcan. This was a hell of a matchup, alright? First of all,
yeah,
Oney Lorcan is money. He always has been. Every time he comes out on my TV, I just throw my pointer finger up high in the air, and he's been around for a while, and I've never been unhappy to see him. I also think Thatcher is getting a nice push. He had that thing with Riddle and then like the training camp, so this was a really good match for him because like he like out-brutaled Oney Lorcan, and then that furthers his reputation as a brutal guy. What do you think?
Yeah, and brutal, I think, is the right word for it. I like to call it angry wrestling because they were just wrestling angry. And sometimes you need that in the card, right? Like, we don't really see that a lot nowadays. Give or take a couple people on the main roster. And you really sort of see that a lot in the indie scene, where I think so, like, the angry wrestling where it's just, like, it looks brutal. It looks like it hurts, you know? And some of the stuff you see in the main roster today, yeah, like, these are awesome moves, but it doesn't really look like it hurts. Like, the moves that we saw in that match look like, I don't even want to be near that. So, the submission holds were great. The technical wrestling was great. And just the brutalization of it, I think, is a great way to sum it up.
I'm going to remember the term angry wrestling. I love that. I love that so much. Rhea Ripley beats Aaliyah and Robert Stone. What do you think?
Yeah, one of my favorite matches of the night, just because I like Robert Stone so much. And you talked about him, I think, a week ago or 2 weeks ago, where you said he does have that wrestling background. And I read a report saying that was his first WWE match since, like, 2006. Yeah, he's been floating around and
2006?
Stuff like that. And
when did he wrestle for WWE?
His first WWE match. I think some, you know, the pre pre-show. Like, it's not even like
a like pre-show. Velocity? Like
that's what I'm talking about.
Okay, that makes more sense.
At one point, I remember he was under contract at one point with WWE, then ended up doing all the other stuff with TNA and everything like that. But, yeah, it's great to see him back underneath the WWE awning and for him to have a match, especially against Rhea Ripley, of all people. And technically, he didn't really, wasn't really involved. He was, but he wasn't. He did a lot of funny spots and took a lot of great bumps. So I'm just happy to see him on my screen. I like Aaliyah, and I love Rhea Ripley, her submission move, where it's like you tangle up the legs, and it's sort of like a backwards cloverleaf, sort of. It's one of my favorite submission moves right now, because it just looks so good. It just looks good. And, like, you know, some moves, it might not hurt in real life, but if it looks good, I think that's all that matters. So I'm loving what Ripley's doing, and I'd like to see her get another big push again after her loss to Charlotte at Mania. She sort of fell off a little bit, at least in my eyes, fell off a little bit. And I think some people could agree with that, especially after she lost the title and didn't get it back and all the stuff like that. So I would like to see her make a big run again, and hopefully in the main roster. I think she does deserve a main roster push.
Yeah. I think after her major feud with Flair, she needed like a cool down feud, and that.
Yeah, good point.
And that also, with this one, it boosts her popularity. Like, Robert Stone had me dying during this match.
He's great, man. The goggles.
Yes! He was pretending to not know how to punch and wrestle and stuff, and then there was that one spot where he dove to the outside and Rhea just kind of walked away, and then Stone face-planted. It was a really fun match, and, I mean, of course I'm more of like a, I love, like, good wrestling, but, like, not every match has to be a technical masterpiece. Like, this, this highlighted the entertainment part of wrestling. There's a place in wrestling for these matches.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. You know, you don't need every match to be, like you said, a technical masterpiece, unless you're looking at New Japan, you know, then I think that's a little different, where every match sort of is, it sort of ends up being like that just because that's the way the culture is over there. So, and especially in America, you sort of need that jokey type of wrestling that Rob Stone provides, Orange Cassidy provides, except when he wants to, and now he's, like, you know, a superstar. So, the comedy wrestling is very important. So, yeah, good point.
And it also doesn't diminish Rhea Ripley's status as a complete boss. Like, she won that match. She freaking destroyed them, but it was really fun along the way. This match made me like Rhea Ripley almost more than her feud with Flair. Of course, the wrestling was good with Flair, but this was huge for Rhea's character.
I think, good point. What I see is that match with Flair at Mania was sort of her big, big breakout. You know, you get to go to Mania and wrestle Flair, like, what's bigger than that, you know? So that was her big breakout, but now she really gets to develop on that with these small NXT things that work for her.
I think something like this develops her character more than people realize. I think it really does. All right, moving on. Dexter Lumis defeats Roderick Strong by submission in a strap match. What, you'll let out a little laugh there. What are you thinking?
No, because I remember you saying that Lumis is your boy, and you like Lumis. I don't know what you think about Strong. I love what Lumis is doing. I would change his entrance music, because I think it's too Stranger Thingies sounding. And I don't know, when two things are too close together, it sort of weirds me out. But other than that, I think his gimmick is great. I love his stern look. He just has that look for that gimmick. And he just does a lot of things right. That match was great. I love when he almost put him in the trunk. And the strap match aspect to it just added a whole nother level.
Yeah.
Some people don't like the strap match. I think when it's used in the right circumstances, it's great. And this was the right circumstance to use it.
Yeah, they absolutely used the strap match to perfection. But here's the thing. Strap match is my least favorite name for a match in wrestling. It just sounds gross to me. But I do love that Lumis won. Like, I've been a fan of the creepy Sam Shaw, Dexter Lumis character for years. This silent and cold killer. And as I've said before, I'm just a big fan. Roddy can afford a loss. At the end of the day, he is a part of the Undisputed Era, and so he's fine. But this is a big win for Lumis, and I'm not too sure it's going to be the blow-off, because it's the Undisputed Era, and they're not the type to just let things slide. Plus, Bobby Fish got involved, so it doesn't feel like this is the end. So whatever he does next, I'd like to see him in a feud involving something gold that goes around your waist.
Okay. That might be down the line, but far away, but given what's everything's going on, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. I see what you're saying.
It also doesn't really help that the NXT roster is so deep as well. There are like 15 guys that could be going for the North American Championship right now. It's ridiculous.
You know, I feel like that feud doesn't need a belt because there's so much already more. There's already so much behind it.
Well, not this one.
It doesn't really need it, you know.
Not this one, but like the next feud that Loomis is involved in. Maybe not the next one.
Maybe
not the next one. Maybe. But he should be in some title picture in the next couple of years, in my opinion.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Io Shirai defeats Sasha Banks via shenanigans. This match did a bunch of things. It pushed Shirai with a win, didn't bury Banks because Shirai won via shenanigans, and it pushed the Asuka and Banks feud because Asuka spit the mist in Banks' face. Just a good match. Banks and Shirai are two of the best women in the WWE, and I don't think the match could have been bad if they tried. What do you think?
Yeah, I think a lot of people forgot how good Banks was, given that she was sort of in the shadow of Bayley for a little bit. Now, given the past few weeks, she has really came out, reminding us that, damn, Banks is good. And like more than good, she is really good. One of the top female wrestlers in this company. And you could also say the same thing about Io Shirai. She has just been nonstop, great, night in and night out. And the whole aspect with Asuka getting involved in that match as well was I wouldn't say it was unexpected because there was no way that either Shirai would go over clean or either Banks would go over clean, given that Banks has the match coming up against Asuka. So having Asuka get involved and even spit the mist, which I don't think she's done in a while, so to break that out was pretty special. So, I'm very happy with how that match went.
Yeah, really, really good way to end off the show. All right. Yeah. Night one of AEW Fyter Fest. We're going to start first segment, Jurassic Express defeats MJF and Wardlow. I'm not going to talk about MJF's promo yet, but the match was a really fun watch. I can see why they went on first. That match is a hell of a way to retain viewership.
Yeah, that's the type of match that you want to put on first. The match that's going to be high action, super fire, and just throwing a bunch of stuff at you and some great spots in that match as well. Something that they could really build off of the rest of the show, and you mentioned to retain viewership. You want to get that great first impression when you're watching a show, and especially when you brand it as Fyter Fest, and they couldn't have done it better. Great first match.
Yeah, there was a lot of fun spots, like you said. With Jungle Boy with that destroyer after running on Luchasaurus and Wardlow's back. You got to understand, I kept up with the show live. I didn't go back, but the next day I woke up, rewatched the match, and watched that destroyer at least four times. It was, whoa. And then, like, Jungle Boy does that cool springboard tornado DD. I don't know. It's just cool. I love me some Jungle Boy.
Yeah.
And then there was that whole thing where MJF and Jungle Boy did, like, those simultaneous kip-ups, and then Luchasaurus and Wardlow did it, and it was like, wow, they're all so athletic. Yeah. All those guys are having so much fun. Anytime MJF is on my screen, he has my full and undivided attention. Interesting finish. MJF accidentally hit Wardlow with the Dynamite Diamond, and then Jurassic Express won via face shenanigans as to not bury Wardlow, I could assume. So that doesn't seem like a blow-off match. I think we'll see more from those two units. Well, actually, it might be. It could set up something. Maybe that's like the beginning of the end of Wardlow and MJF. What do you think?
No. It's way too early for that. They just got together. It's way too early. At least I think they just got together. I've been watching for a while, but from what I remember is that, well, when did Wardlow come in? Before Double or Nothing, right?
It was early AEW. It was one of like the first feuds that MJF had, because MJF was Cody's best friend for a while.
Oh, yes. Now, I remember. Now I'm thinking about it more. But Wardlow was out for a while, right?
Yeah, he wasn't.
Like, wasn't he hurt or something?
I don't even remember.
I think he was off television for a while, and he just came back or something like that.
MJF
because
was.
That's what it was. Because
Wardlow did a couple of matches.
Yes, that's what it was. MJF was off TV, not Wardlow. MJF was. And that's what I think a lot of us forgot about their grouping, because Wardlow was on his own for a while. But, yeah, I don't think this is the end for them. They're perfect together, at least how I see it. They're good for each other. And it's the perfect counterpart to MJF, and MJF can wrestle his butt off, man. I don't care what anybody says. Oh, he can only do it on the mic, only do it on the mic. The match that he had with Jungle Boy, what was that? I think that was the match of Double or Nothing. They had. That match stole the show almost. I think it pretty much did steal it. The Stampede was still there. That match, Stampede stole the show. But for just straight wrestling match, that was great. You know, it was a great match that they had between them two. And yeah, this is going to keep on going and going and going. I wonder where it ends, but I don't think Wardlow is anywhere near out. Especially when you have the counterpart of Luchasaurus, you know, like it's a perfect mixture right there. So
yeah, either way, what a match. Just solid.
Yeah, great match.
Speaking of what a match, Hikaru Shida defeats Penelope Ford. Real, real good win for Shida, and hell of a showing from Penelope Ford. This was the kind of match that Ford needed to really cement herself as a top competitor in the women's division, a very, very good women's division. And, you know, I was genuinely on the edge of my seat wondering who was winning this match, which does not happen that much for a guy that watches so much wrestling like myself. Like, there were a couple of times that Ford had it, and I was like, oh, like, it got, like, a genuine, this isn't fake reaction out of me. And if that can do that, it's a good match all around. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think I'm as high in this match as you are. I definitely think this match helped Ford out a lot. This match helped Ford out more than the champion. And that's a good thing, especially even though the champion won. You look at Ford, and I think before this, you didn't really look at her as that big of a threat in the women's division. And you talk about, you say this women's division is good. Yeah, it's a good division, but not WWE has the best women's division, and I don't think it comes even close.
It doesn't close,
right?
No.
And yeah, like the women's division on AEW, it's great. I wouldn't even say great; it's very good, but it doesn't even touch WWE, and it really needs to. The AEW needs to build female wrestlers in AEW a lot, like how they do in WWE. Which is just book them like the men. And I think they do a great job of that in AEW where they try to do that. But I don't know. For me, at least, it doesn't come off like that. I don't know. I might be watching it wrong, and it might sound like I'm blabbering here. But this match definitely helped Ford.
Yeah. What I gather from that, because you do make some good points. Here's the thing. AEW is like a collection of the top indie stars, barring a few guys. And when you take, it's just so much more difficult as an indie female wrestler to get over because it's just so everywhere and it's all these crazy like spots and stuff, and there are just so many more men in indie wrestling, and it's tougher indie females to get over quite as much as men for whatever reason, and it's just so clustered. So it's tough for them to have been built before, and the guys like the Bucks, Kenny, they were all built before. The only female wrestler in the AEW women's division I was actually familiar with before I started watching Dynamite was Leva Bates, the librarian. She hasn't wrestled in a long-ass time. So these are completely new for all of us. Most of us. And I don't know what everybody else knows, but for me, I just had never heard of most of these people. And actually, I had heard of Penelope Ford, but she was just with Joey Janela for a while, but I knew she could actually wrestle, and she showed that she could really wrestle in this match. It was a hell of a match. It really was.
I remember texting you during the show saying, yo, Kip Sabian should have actually hit her with the stick.
Oh yeah,
that would have been a great spot. That would have been a great spot. I think that they definitely could have gotten away with that. That would have been fine.
Yeah,
I think that would have been nice.
Kip Sabian tried to murder Shida. That was really something.
Yeah, if Shida got hit, I think that would like some people might look at that in a bad way. With the way that AEW's been doing things, if that happened, I think it would have been fine. And it wasn't like it was out of the blue either. They have a big feud that goes back to the past, so I think that would have been a good spot.
Yeah, Kip Sabian just doesn't go around hitting women with sticks. It's like, but yes, good match. Cody defeats Jake Hager to retain the TNT Championship. What do you think?
I was expecting more from this match. I really was. But if you asked, like, what was I expecting, I don't know if I could tell you. I really did enjoy the match, but I was expecting more of an outing that Jungle Boy had to that Hager had. I don't know. Maybe that might be asking too much from Hager at the same time, but I wanted something more out of that match. I wanted something a little bit more thrilling. I felt like it wasn't enough for me. I did enjoy the spot that they did with Arn Anderson. So, and I did enjoy the rage that came out of Hager at the end. But for me, Hager doesn't really do much for me besides being a Jericho sidekick. I know he's had a great past, but I don't know. I feel like I need more from him. I need more from Hager.
Jake Hager would be a fantastic angry wrestler.
Yeah, that's a good point. He would be a fantastic angry wrestler. So maybe I'm just looking at him the wrong way. Maybe that's just me thing.
I don't think you are. I think you're exactly right that he was. It wasn't exact. Because again, I wanted to like this match more than I did. I didn't hate it. I was, you know, like you said, expecting something more like a Mark Quinn or a Jungle Boy kind of match. Yeah, I think Jake Hager needs to own the fact that he is an undefeated MMA competitor and just beat the shit out of people. He just has to beat them up. That's what he does. He's really, really good at just beating people up and being strong and big and brutal. So, also, his gear. Come on. Come on.
I did text you that too. Like, dude, he's just wearing blue pants. Like, I was like, and also with that match, Cody came out in what the shirts say, American Nightmare Cody, but in the exact format and font that the WCW Great American Bash font was.
I didn't even catch that.
A great shot, you know, just throwing grenades over the fence, throwing grenades, and from Jacksonville to Orlando, big grenades, shots at the WWE, and they did that throughout most of this night, and I respect them a lot for that. WWE never responds back. You know they don't. At least not on air. They will on leaks that come out, but never on air. They never respond. The day that they do respond legitimizes AEW. So.
Yeah. I think they know that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, I'm a huge fan of the TNT Championship and how it's defended so often. I'm a huge fan of like the Workhorse TV titles, like the ROH TV title. I'm a huge fan of, so if this match is a little bit iffy, it's fine because it'll be defended again in the next couple of weeks, and it will more than likely leave a much better taste in the fans' mouths, from what I could guess. Private Party, a.k.a. Hardy Party, which I'm going to continue to call them, defeat Santana and Ortiz to move on to next week, where they will challenge for the AEW Tag Team Championship. This was a pretty fun match from these two teams. I mean, like we talked about last week, the AEW Tag Division is so deep. So, so deep. So these two teams that would be able to be high-level competitors almost anywhere else that are kind of now pushed sort of to the bottom of the AEW totem pole. It's just nice to see Quinn and Cassidy challenging for the belts next week. Similar to Roderick Strong's deal, Santana and Ortiz can take a loss because they are members of the Inner Circle. So no matter what happens, they're fine. What'd you think?
Yeah, it was a great match. And I saw a picture that came up of Michael P.S. Hayes in like a red shirt with the black pants. And when he was with the Hardy Boys when they won their first title on WWE, and there's the same exact picture, and Hardy's wearing the red shirt, black pants with Private Party. So that was a good relation. I think Ryan Satin posted that, and I thought that was an awesome realization there. But yeah, I love Private Party. I think they're great. Will they win the belts in the near future? No. They're going to have a match next week on next week's Fighter Fest. And do I think they win the belts? No. Just because there's way too many heads in that tag team division that blow them out the water. Not that saying that they're like, listen, honestly, if Private Party's on WWE, they're title contenders. I really think like they're that good. They're a great group. But you put them in AEW, they're like fifth, sixth. Like they're at the middle level where they're a great tag team in an amazing tag team division. Like I can't get over how great this tag team division is.
Yeah.
But they're not gonna have their shot, I think, for a while. So, and I really doubt that they win next week. I really doubt it. I really, really doubt it.
The only way they win the titles next week is if Hangman Page finally turns on Kenny Omega.
Doubt that. I don't understand. Yeah. And why would they do... okay, maybe that's a possibility, but I don't know. I really doubt it. Really do doubt it.
Because I feel like they're establishing Double or Nothing as their WrestleMania. That feels like a Double or Nothing kind of feud.
Yeah.
They're too much of
You're
a...
You're making me think.
Yeah. They're too much of
I doubt it. Yeah.
They're too new of a brand to have an established WrestleMania kind of show, but I think that based on the fact that Double or Nothing was good, and then the Dynamite after Double or Nothing had the, I was about to call them the Revival, it's not their name, FTR debut, I feel like they're trying to establish Double or Nothing as their Mania. But another thing worth mentioning, Jericho donning a lovely Canadian jacket. Because, you know, despite not actually being Canadian.
He's not Canadian. Who would have thought that Chris Jericho is not gonna? What idiot? What idiot thinks that Chris Jericho is not kidding? Like, oh, that guy must be an idiot.
Oh my god. So during this match, Orange Cassidy kind of came out, just kind of sitting there, commentary, doing actually nothing at all, and Jericho was screaming at him the entire time. And then in the end, they had, I guess you could call it a brawl. I don't know. You look at Orange Cassidy and what he did. He, you know, kicked over a chair and sauntered away. I guess that was a brawl. He was being held back. Didn't really do anything.
Barely.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Held him by his collar.
Yeah. It was just entertaining. This match next week. Oh, my God. I need it. Just inject it into my veins, please. What do you, do you have anything you want to say on that?
It's going to be a great match. I posted this on 1306 Mania.
On Instagram.
There are spoilers out. There are spoilers out for both NXT Great American Bash Week 2 and Fighter Fest Week 2. I know what's going to happen at NXT Great American Bash Week 2. I know. Because I saw it, right?
I saw it too.
It was an accident. I don't know what's going to happen at AEW Fighter Fest. I'm going to try my best not to find out before because I genuinely want to watch what's going to happen between Jericho and Cassidy, right?
Same.
Next, it's going to be great because they're just both great. Jericho's your favorite of all time. Orange Cassidy's one of the hottest things in professional wrestling right now. I feel like if Jericho wins, it actually helps Cassidy in a sense because if Cassidy wins... Yeah, he wins the match and it's great, but where does he sort of go from there, you know?
Yeah.
At least that's sort of how I see it. Like, yeah, he'll win the match, but then what's next, you know? If Jericho wins, I think it could keep on going and going and going. That can go on for so long, especially with Jericho, how he does things. Yeah. If Cassidy wins, I feel like it's a great moment, but it sort of stops there. I hope that's not the case, so.
Just due to the nature of Orange Cassidy's character, he can take a loss.
Yeah, 100. That's what I'm saying. He could take that loss.
Yeah.
I don't know if he could take the win. It sort of sounds really weird.
It does sound weird.
He could win 100%. And if he wins, that's great. But at the same time, what's next for him? Are they going to put him in the TNT title picture? Are they going to put him in the main event title picture? Like, now, if he beats Jericho, now we're talking a championship run. That's how I see it. If he doesn't, now we're just talking a really good feud with Jericho.
The greatest of all time. The greatest of all time.
Yeah. So either way, he sort of really can't lose, but I'd rather see him go a little bit longer with Jericho because I want him to go as long as he could go with this gimmick without putting a belt on him. You understand what I'm saying?
That's true.
That's how I want to see Cassidy go. As long as he can go with this gimmick without putting the belt on him. Either belt, TNT or AEW championship. Most likely TNT.
He's not winning the AEW championship.
You never know, man. Not... This guy could get so hot. It comes out of nowhere. But you never know. They did the double or nothing thing where you win the stupid poker chip and then you get a title shot. I think that might be how he gets it. That's my bold prediction from down the line.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, quote me on that.
You know what? Orange Cassidy is going to win it the next Double or Nothing, and we're going to bring this clip back. All right. Kenny Omega and Adam Page defeat best friends, driven to the ring by Trent's mom. Trent's mom. Trent's mom. Trent's mom. What a match, man. I was really pulling for Truck and Chen. Truck and Chen? I was really pulling for Trent and Chuck. And there were a couple of times that I actually thought they had it. This one had me, maybe not as much as Ford and Sheeta, but there were a couple of times where I was like, ooh, like kind of feeling it. And yeah, just back and forth stuff, near falls, just a good tag team match. What do you think?
Yeah, good. I'm a little upset that a belt change didn't happen on the show at all. But at the same time, I'd be more upset if I had to pay for it. Then again, so like if it's on TV, I guess it's sort of okay, right? So they don't have to change the belts. If it's a pay-per-view, like I sort of expect the belt. I think this is what I'm paying for, like a belt change, something big to happen, right? So I think they actually kind of wasted the Trent mom thing and not switching the belts. Like, but not, how awesome would that been? They win the belts, right? And then they leave there.
Trent's mom picks them up.
And then picks them up. I think that would have been such a great spot. Funny moment. you know, would it delegitimize the belt? Maybe. But then again, you just beat Hangman Page and Kenny Omega, so maybe not at the same time. So what this is the one match that I wish went the other way.
Yeah.
I really wanted the Best Friends to win.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they told us early in the show that there's going to be a match next week made me think, oh, they're not going to win it, because there's no way that they're going to have to defend it the next week against Private Party. So now it's like, oh, it's out the window. But either way, very good match, and I'm actually more surprised at the aftermath of the match with Kenny Omega, Hangman Page, and FTR. FTR was there at ringside. It was at the announce table.
Yeah.
And Omega pours out the beer. Mm. And I'm like, oh my god, this is gonna be a whole thing. And if that's the feud that they decide to go with after week two, where, you know, I think that would be great. But I think that's like a kick in the teeth to the Young Bucks, man.
But they probably have a huge say in those decisions. And honestly,
probably.
Here's what I think is
maybe they're
happen.
Saving it for Double or Nothing next year. But isn't that so far away? Like,
yeah. Here's what I think. Yeah, they're setting up that feud, and I think FTR is going to take the titles off of Page and Omega, and then the Young Bucks are going to give FTR the final huge finger and take the titles off of them. That's what I think is going to happen.
But how long? How long away are we going to have to wait for that?
I have
They're
going to
make
no
us
idea.
Wait so long for that. And they might wait for a big moment, like NXT's doing good, and they might need to just switch the belts, and, you know.
This is true.
And that's what sort of bothers me, too, is that you're putting it on these guys that are WWE guys. And, yeah, they've done other things, but they made their name sort of WWE. Same thing that they put the belt on Jericho, who's a WWE guy. They put the belt on Cody, who's... I know, obviously, now he's definitely an AEW guy.
I was gonna say.
He made his name in WWE. So... You get the pattern here. Like, you're sort of depending on these crutches. Put it on the Young Bucks,
okay.
Man.
Okay.
Make them your own. They're the first ones that signed with you, man. They're the reason why. Look. Put the belts on them.
Look. Listen. So, Cody Rhodes... We'll start... So, there are just a few things that you just said that I'll have to disagree with. Normally, I would be like, yeah, don't rely on WWE guys. But the reason that FTR works is because, despite only being in AEW for, like, a couple months... The Young Bucks and that tag team have been feuding for years online.
Yes, yes. It is, okay, fine.
It is not just, oh, the WWE guys are here, let's give them the belts. Cody Rhodes only started gaining significant traction as a wrestler and as a guy that can do stuff when he left WWE. No one gave a shit about Cody when he was in WWE. Maybe there was that cool run. There was a cool run in 2011 where he put paper bags on ugly people. But other than that, him and Damian Sandow were a fun tag team, I guess. But he gained most of his traction when he went to ROH, became that champion, went to New Japan, won the United States champion. It's technically they are people that were in WWE, but I do not classify them as WWE guys. Not for a second, because... Honestly, the Revival hated being in WWE. They asked for their release when AEW was about to start. They were denied the release. They had the belts put on them for a minute and then taken off and then nothing again. They finally got their release. They weren't happy there. I don't really classify them as WWE guys.
All right, understood. But it still had like sour grapes about putting the belt on Jericho first. Obviously, you know, he's great, but you want to talk about a guy that made his name in WWE. You know.
That's not even necessarily true either. He was in WWE
for
a long time.
Okay, fine. But the first undisputed champion.
Okay, but...
What, you beat The Rock and Triple H in the same night? Was The Rock and Stone Cold? I don't remember. But like that's like, here you go. Here's the reins. Take it.
But Jericho made his name in WCW.
Yeah, but that was his start. But he made his breakout in his name. At least I think so.
No way! He made
his
start in Extreme Championship Wrestling, to WCW,
and then
won the Cruiserweight title, was one of the greatest Cruiserweights in that division, went to WWE, wrestled his ass off, became an undisputed champion, became IWGP Intercontinental Champion. Everywhere this guy goes, he has been amazing. He was in WWE the longest because that is the premier hat that was... the premier wrestling brand in the world, and that's where Chris Jericho belongs, on the premier wrestling brand in the world. And every time he just goes to where the wrestling is good and becomes the champion and becomes a main face there, because Chris Jericho is the greatest professional wrestler in the history of professional wrestling.
Still not on my Mount Rushmore. Either way. Oh. I would kill him. I don't know. I would call him a WWE. I know. Yeah, obviously WCW, he was great. And he had all these feuds in the Cruiserweight division, or like whatever they called it, a Cruiserweight, right? So either way, he was given like the gold, was the brass rings of WWE, and he carried it, you know? So yeah, I guess you could call him his own guy. But if you ask anybody, I think you mostly remember him from what he's done in WWE.
I hate the term WWE guy, because it implies that he was only good in WWE. The guy has been...
No, but yeah, he's not. He wasn't only, but he made his name in the WWE.
No, he made his name in WCW and made his name bigger in WWE. If WCW were to continue into the... If Vince Russo didn't completely screw it up, Chris Jericho would have been a top guy in WCW in the 2000s.
A lot of things would have happened if WCW still existed and didn't. Like, yeah, that'd be a completely different story. But what happened was WCW folded, went to WWE, and there's a lot of WCW guys that didn't make it in WWE, mm-hmm. You know? So the fact that he did, I think, makes him more of a WWE guy.
Well, thank God Chris Jericho is the best wrestler of all time. He can make it anywhere.
He's very good.
He can make it absolutely anywhere. But yes, next week will be Fyter Fest Night 2 and Night 2 of the Great American Bash, and I might change up. So this next segment, we would usually do trivia at this point, but I feel like it'd be weird to do trivia and then come back to this, so we're doing the awards. We're giving out awards, because we'll do this week and next week, because big shows, big time, yay wrestling. First award, Match of the Night. Would you like to give yours first?
Yeah, I'm going to go Io Shirai and Sasha Banks. I think that was the match of the night. It did a lot of things for a lot of people, made a lot of people look good, made no one look bad. It was a great match. I think it was great. I think it reaffirmed what Sasha Banks means to the women's division in the WWE, and how she is probably if the best, if not one of the best, in the company.
I'm going to go with Penelope Ford versus Sheeta. This is one of those...
There's so many other matches on that card that spanked that. I think that was actually my least favorite match.
What?
Out of the whole night.
What are you talking about?
That was actually my least favorite match of both NXT and AEW. God.
Oh, that
is. That was my least favorite match.
That is so disrespectful.
There's no way that's even close.
Vote in the poll at 1306 Mania.
Not even close. That's literally my least favorite match.
Damn.
You could have picked the AEW opener. You could have picked the AEW main event. You could have picked Oni Larkin versus Thatcher.
Wow, what? Literally. Wait.
So many other matches.
Nah.
I wouldn't say. Okay, listen, that's not even close
to.
Oh,
my God.
All right. Literally the last match I thought you would say.
Jeez. You knew I was high on this match. Because let me tell you something. This is one of those matches that is really good for the women's division. It doesn't have the biggest names, but it's the caliber of wrestling that AEW wants to be showing. And it's matches like those that you'll remember as one of the better technical matches, along with good spots like, again, Kip Sabian trying to commit homicide on Hikaru Shida.
But why are you not going to put the Jurassic Express versus MJF and Wardlow? How you not gonna put that one over?
That
match.
Look, this match excited me in ways that no other match on Wednesday excited me. It just did. I love not knowing who's gonna win a match during the match. That's just my thing. I thought Ford might win it, and I was just on the edge of my seat the whole time. And for me, that's the most important thing: keeping me interested and excited. That's the criteria for me. Next, promo of the night. There is really only one winner, isn't there?
I'm tied with two, but they're both AEW.
I think I know exactly which two, because I have the other one as an honorable mention.
Okay.
Yeah. I got MJF at the beginning of Fyter Fest, and my favorite line, he said Luchasaurus is green, and he's not talking about the color of his tongue. And
yeah, he did that one of the, was good. That was really good.
And he did one of those things where he referenced the fact that AEW and NXT are in a ratings war, so they had to put him on first to draw viewers. And what really helped that statement is that it was probably true. So not only was he saying cool stuff, but they actually had weight. So that's what made it cool for me.
Yeah, that one is, it's like 1A and 1B. And I like them both, both the things I'm about to talk about, but I'm going to put Taz's promo a little bit over MJF, because you want to talk about weight?
Yeah.
Saying like, oh, is that a fat joke? Don't run a sloppy shop. Oh my God. Ooh. Might as well. Oh my God. Literally, like, the rating, for saying that you're in a ratings war is one thing, right? Which is true. They are in a ratings war, and I think we'll talk about the ratings in a little bit, just how it panned out, but to say that, oh, we don't run a sloppy shop, meaning that, oh, we test our people, oh, we actually care, oh,
yeah,
we're in an environment that's safer for our professional wrestlers, other than the company that's out in Orlando right now getting everybody sick, causing a mini pandemic. You know? So just to really come at WWE's throat with no remorse, and, you know, the WWE must hate Jon Moxley. Oh, hate him.
They have to.
Just for the fact of what he has done, leaving, going to AEW, right?
Yep.
And really being a face. And want to talk about a WWE guy that you know.
That, yeah.
He made, you know, like he made his name in WWE with the Shield and all stuff like that. Yeah, right. And now you have the belt on him. Another example why I'm a little upset. But he also has improved on his name in AEW, right? Changed his name, but improved on. I would be upset too if I was the WWE, but at the same time, like, yeah, reports have come out saying, oh, the WWE is upset at Taz's marks, but he's speaking the truth. Like, he's speaking the truth.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's no one to be, the whole point was to for you to be upset. So he did his job.
Yeah, wait.
You know, WWE, that was the whole point. You know, it's like, oh, he said something bad. That was the point. Yeah, you know, like, call you out, fix your stuff. You know, you're causing to people to get sick and stuff like that. It's not a safe working environment. So that was a great promo. And not only that, it sort of saved the fact that Moxley isn't going to be at Fyter Fest. He's going to be at the next, what are they calling it, Fight for the Fallen or something like that?
Yeah.
That he's going to be at that next week. So it made us appetize even more. You know, the MJF promo just appetized for that match. Yeah. And, you know, it was awesome. This guy is a killer. He kills everybody in the mic, MJF. But Taz, he made us even salivate even more for a match that's coming up in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And threw shots at WWE. So I give him the slight edge, but still MJF, you know, he'll kill anybody on the mic. No question about it.
The thing about these AEW promos that I find so interesting is like, oh, yeah, this guy sucks. They'll talk about this one guy, and then they'll throw an effective dig at WWE. And, like, it's just weird for a roster of wrestlers to be on the same page just because wrestling, they fight. To me, that's just a really cool thing. I love the concept of, oh, WWE is upset about Taz. Well, obviously. Like,
yeah.
What?
That's the whole point. That was Taz the point just, for you to be upset.
Taz is just there, I didn't mean to offend you. Sorry, WWE. That's my bad. Like, no.
Yeah.
That's the correct response. Like, hi, you're bad and you give your people corona. And, oh, I didn't mean that. Like, all right. But
if they weren't upset, now that's even more of a problem.
Yeah, I was going to say.
That's even more of a problem. And I want to look at the – before we – move on to who we think is the best show.
Right.
I think we just look at the numbers real quick. The NXT beat AEW numbers-wise overall ratings. So NXT technically won, if you want to say that, just based on the strict numbers. But Chris Jericho posted something saying that AEW actually won, I think, at the 18 to 55 demographic, if that's the right – maybe 18 to 45, 18 to 55, one of those two numbers – and they won in that demographic by like 31%. And that's where all the money is, according to Jericho. That's what he's saying. So Jericho said if you want to get technical, AEW won. But if you're just looking at the strict number of how many eyeballs were on that screen, NXT won. So it depends on it's how you grade it, how you look at it.
Yeah.
That's the fact. That's the fact right there.
Yeah. At the end of the day, it is WWE. And it's tough to put a big show like something called the Great American Bash to the side and not really consider it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they only did the Great American Bash thing to combat Fighter Fest.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, which is awesome to see, which is so good to see. Just the fact that there's competition in professional wrestling again.
Yeah,
exactly. Is awesome. Even if it's just the Wednesday show, because there's no way AEW is going to compete with Raw or SmackDown. But they know that they could compete with NXT.
Yeah.
So the fact that there is competition and WWE recognizes that by putting on the Great American Bash. And, you know, that is, like, even though it's, yeah, Great American Bash happens, used to happen sometimes around this year. But the fact that Dusty Rhodes came up with that name. And Cody Rhodes is running AEW, right? Like, that, these are just the you know, they're throwing grenades at each other back and forth, yes. back and forth. WWE's a little bit more quiet about it because they don't want to acknowledge AEW.
Yeah.
But AEW's not afraid of that. Much like how WCW was with WWE up until DX did their thing.
Yeah.
Right? So it's going to be grenades back and forth. And for the viewer, it's awesome.
Yeah,
it's awesome. We will always win. The viewer will always win. So
this is true.
Wednesday nights are great.
I also want to give a dishonorable mention for promos. Mm. So maybe not this promo in particular, but the Cameron Grimes character cut the most obnoxious damn promo, or rather cuts the most obnoxious promos. If WWE just left Trevor Lee as he was and didn't do the stupid cowboy gimmick, he'd be fine. I can't
he
say
that. Cameron
Grimes. Yeah. Like, shut up, dog. Like, get the hell.
He reminds me of, like, a terrible original Bray Wyatt. but with no creative incentive or anything. He is just so bad. I don't like. I'm right there with you. I don't like him at all. Oh. And another NXT one that I did like sort of a little bit was, his name escaped. The Cruiserweight Champion.
Oh, he's not Iho Delfontaine.
Yeah.
Santos Escobar.
There you go, Santos Escobar, there you go. I was thinking of the name before, but I knew that was wrong. Yeah, great promo. I thought, obviously not the best of the night, but I maybe put that third, because he cut a great promo on Lucha Libre and Lucha Libre culture and how it's changed and how he's changed, and I think that was, and Drake Maverick came out, and, you know, it's great when you see Rockstar Spud, so.
Big Spud.
I thought that was good. I thought that was a good promo.
I like the whole idea of, like, oh, yeah, we're taking back Lucha Libre. Like, ooh, shit, okay. Yeah. I'm going to be keeping a very close. I've had them as, like, my secondary note on these NXT shows for weeks now. Mm-hmm. I am high on Legado del Fantasma, but...
Mm-hmm.
We have gone for, oh my gosh, a long time. All right, it's fine. We only have the quiz. This is like the special segment. It's fine. Show of the night. Who do you give it to?
AEW. I know I gave NXT match of the night, but I think that was almost like that. That was, it was good. They had a good average show and they had match of the night, but AEW overall with everything they did, I feel like it developed a lot of storylines. It moved a lot of things along. I feel like NXT sort of maybe ended a lot of things in a sense, and maybe, I don't know, I might be wrong about that, but AEW, I do give match of the night, the show of the night. It's the show that I watched live and I watched NXT later, just to show you how I was watching it, but I give AEW show of the night, and I think they put on a great product.
This show had Big Show feel, or not like, you know, Paul White, but a Big Show feel. From start to finish, until you got to the last couple matches of NXT, it just felt like a regular NXT show with the Ripley match, which was good, but it didn't.
Oh yeah.
It wouldn't. If this was the Great American Bash pay per view, and they were putting their best feet forward, that match would not have been on it. So for me, Fighter Fest from beginning to end.
The card was stacked.
Exactly, and for huge shows like that, you have to stack the card, and they did. And better in-ring, better promo work. The only thing NXT has over AEW, not even by too much, but for me, the commentary team.
Yeah.
I know AEW...
Yeah, really good point.
AEW has JR, but NXT has Mauro Ranallo, who, for those that know, how can you like anybody more than Mauro Ranallo? And Beth Phoenix, and usually maybe like Tom Phillips or Byron Saxton, but most importantly, not Excalibur.
I hate Excalibur. I think you bring up a good point. I do put JR way over Ranallo just because it's JR. Like, he is the voice of, like, professional wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
But there's too many cooks in the kitchen. There's way too many. And I love Jericho on commentary, too, but I think the max is two. Maybe three. And before, four for almost the whole show. And then half the time, they're all doing play-by-play. Like, there's no one that's designated to the color role. Excalibur tries to do play-by-play when he's the color guy. Like, I can't stand him. I really can't. He's the one guy that if he could just get booted off of the show, I would have no problem with that at all. Like, I know he does good on Dark, right? He does Dark sometimes, right? That's his thing?
Yeah, I think him and Taz are usually on it. I don't know.
Yeah, so like that's his show. But, you know, he's probably good on its own. But when I need to see... the best AEW commentary from what I remember was when they weren't at Daly's place. I think they were just doing, like inside shows. I forget where they were, but it was just JR and Jericho, or just
Shivani and Jericho.
It was just Shivani and Jericho, and it would be great because it was just them two, and the chemistry was good.
Yeah.
One thing I would put NXT over on as well was the set. I love the Great American Bash set. Some people might say it was wham, but I like the two cars.
The cars was a nice touch.
The ropes were nice. I liked it. I think you'll never be WWE in set. Like, they hang their hat on that. You'll never be WWE in set, and you'll never be WWE in vignette. Their editing team, everything like that, it's unbeatable. It's literally unbeatable. You cannot touch it. The production value is way too high. Too much money.
Yeah, I was going to say, they have cool set kind of money. So.
Yeah.
But yeah. I did like the cars. And the cars were actually functional in the Loomis and Strong match. So it wasn't just a bunch of shiny objects that they put on the, you know, side. All right. Are you ready, Jaden? This is the trivia segment. You are a well-documented drip enthusiast.
Ooh, okay.
You have...
Yes,
You have been known for a while by many as Jaden Three Belts. I call this segment... of trivia, the Three Belts Special. I'm going to give you a year and three championships all held at the same time by a person, and you will have to tell me who that title holder is.
Alright, okay. A year and time where the person held the three belts at the same time.
It's
okay.
It's the year, and then the three belts will do more for you than the year will.
Okay.
Alright, first one, we'll start off easy. The Saskatchewan Hardcore International title, the 100 kg and under championship, the Canadian Heavyweight Championship, year 2000.
Lance Storm.
That's one.
He held all three of those.
That is.
We were talking about that loose last week. So.
See, I'm starting you off nice and easy. Next one, WWE Tag Team Championship, World Tag Team Championship, United States Championship, 2010.
The Miz.
That's correct.
Yes. He had the Big Show.
Yes.
Bonus points. Bonus points.
TNA World Champion. IWGP Heavyweight Champion. X Division Champion. TNA Tag Team Champion. 2007.
No clue. Absolutely no clue. I'm going to guess, though. 2007, you said?
2007.
X Division?
Don't think of...
Suicide.
Wait. I'm going to give you another chance. Think about all the other titles I named and then imagine it being Suicide. TNA World Champion. Okay. The IWGP Heavyweight Champion.
I forgot about that one.
It's not Suicide.
I forgot about that one.
Important piece of the puzzle.
I was just thinking all about the... Okay. Oh, gosh. Who would be back and forth at that time in 2007?
It wasn't really that back and forth. The dude just kind of rocked up to Japan, took their title, and dipped.
I forget. 2007? I really know. Styles.
Kurt Angle.
Oh, I see. I wouldn't think. I remember him being in Japan, but I didn't remember him winning.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's me being stupid. Casual fan things.
Just casual fan things. All right.
Angle. I didn't think he would win X Division either.
He had he had all the belts in TNA. All right.
Go.
TNA World Championship. TNA Grand Championship. Defiant World Championship, World Series Wrestling Championship, IPW UK World Championship, Defy Championship, 2018.
So this guy, 2018?
Yeah.
Okay, go through them again.
TNA World Championship, TNA Grand Championship, Defiant World Championship, World Series Wrestling Championship, IPW UK World Championship, Defy Championship.
IPW UK.
This guy was known at the time as the Belt Collector, which kind of added up, all things considered.
That's an 18. Yeah, it did add up. That's a lot of belts. Beats Jaden Three Belts by a lot.
One, two, three, four, five, six. Six. It's double.
That's I remember hearing this the other day. This is what happens when you leave professional wrestling for a while and then you come back and then all the shit.
And all of a sudden someone wins six damn titles all across the world.
In like multiple different promotions.
Yeah.
He did there's no New Japan in there, is there?
There's no New Japan in there. There's
there's UK stuff in
there. There's an American company, an Australian company, two UK companies, and then a second American company. Defy is American.
Okay, so there's two UKs and an Australian company. But no Japan.
No Japan.
I don't know how much that helps me.
It really doesn't, to be honest.
Is this someone that I know for sure?
I think you would know who this person is. I actually...
Without a shadow of a doubt.
Like, no, there's a shadow of doubt. I'm not entirely sure how for you. I think you would know him, though. Just because he spent...
You said 2018? He spent what?
He spent a bit of time in the E. Not that much, though.
Dad, I don't know. I don't know the answer.
Austin Aries.
I wouldn't have gotten that.
Yeah. Do you know who that is?
Yeah.
Okay.
I wouldn't have gotten that, though.
All right.
I was thinking a little bit more main.
Yeah. All right.
It's okay. Casual fair. It's okay. We got the first two that we got, I think, were really good ones to hang our hat on, first of all. So, pretty all right. Happy with that. Keep it going.
This is the... Well, I mean, the next one is kind of a bonus one because it kind of... You'll understand why.
Okay.
All right. This guy held the X Division Championship and both TNA Tag Team belts in 2007. 2007? Pretty much the height of TNA wrestling. One of the biggest stars in wrestling.
At 2007?
2007, one of the biggest stars in TNA.
Biggest stars in TNA 2007? You already said Angle. I don't think it's Angle again.
This is the guy that Angle took these belts off of to win all of them.
Okay, is this Styles?
I'll give you another guess. It's not Styles.
Oh, just cause it's not Styles.
Just because I want you to guess
Styles came in too late for that, right?
He didn't come in too late. He just did not win all of those belts.
He wasn't that guy then.
He was, yeah.
I don't think it's Joe. I think Joe came in too late for that. He also.
I like...
2007.
Yeah.
You like what?
Yeah, nothing.
is that like a fake hit? All right, I'm going to get Samoa Joe. That's my second guess.
Correct. Samoa Joe is correct.
Good shit, Gene. My computer is like messing up right now.
You were just like, oh, it's not Samoa Joe. And I was about to say, I wouldn't bet on that. And then I had to stop. Because, you know. All right. So you got three wrong and three right. But, right?
Mm.
I think I skipped one on accident. No, yeah, I did skip one on accident. All right, well. All
right.
There's a couple more then. All right. TNA World Championship. X Division Championship. King of the Mountain Championship. 2016.
No clue.
Bobby.
Wait, say it again?
Oh! Yeah.
Lashley.
It's Bobby Lashley. Yes.
Yes! Okay, you just could have said Bobby, and I would have gotten like half a point.
Yeah. We'll give you. So, we'll give it to you.
Because a lot of Bobbies out there.
So, I think, yeah, you got Storm, Miz, Lashley, and Joe. So, this one.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
This one is a fun little bonus. All right.
Gosh.
Universal Championship. Raw Tag Team Championship, Up Up Down Down Championship, 2019.
Ooh, 2019, Up Up Down Down. Okay, wait.
Why are you thinking about that? Think of the universe.
Universal Champion.
And Raw Tag Team.
At that time. Raw Tag Team? Okay, Universal Champion in 2019 was... Why am I only thinking of Lesnar? Because he was before that. Wasn't Wyatt. Who Wyatt winning off? Was it... No.
You all, when you consider these options, you do have to consider the Up Up Down Down Championship. Would Lesnar have been on Up Up Down Down?
No, he would have not. He would have not been. That's what I'm saying. But
would
like,
Goldberg have been on Up Up Down Down?
Well, Goldberg wouldn't have either. But why would have? I forget who he won the belt off of though. I think it was Rollins who he won it off of, and I don't ever remember. Why being in a tag team last year? Was he tag team champions last year? Was Rollins tag team? I'm going to go Rollins.
It was Seth Rollins.
Yes! Yeah, who was he tag team with?
I think it was Strowman.
Really?
Yeah, I believe so. I believe so.
Really? And, like, yeah, I could see why playing up, up, down, down. But I remember Rollins was a face throughout that time.
Yes.
So I feel like it's more likely that he would play up, up, down, down. Either way, that's a... Hey, I know a lot about my three belts. Not gonna lie.
Yeah, exactly. The guy is a drip enthusiast. How could you not be aware of the drip? You got, what was that, 5 out of 7? That's a certified...
That's very impressive.
You have officially earned the title Certified Drip Expert. Congratulations.
Thanks. Woo! Round of applause for...
Yeah, you should change your Twitter name to Drip Enthusiast.
I might.
All right. Thank you so much for listening to this installment of 1306 Live. If you have not already, check out 1306 Mania on Instagram. A lot of fun stuff going on there. Jaden, you've been killing it recently with that stuff. You can vote on pretty much anything we talk about during the show. It'll be there. And while you're at it, check out at 1306 Sports, at 1306 Gridiron, and at 1306 FC on Instagram. Also, check out at 1306 Sports on Twitter to be updated with all the goings-on and just keep posted with the stuff we post because... We post a lot of good stuff. And check out 1306sports.com. I just released an article about whether or not the Redskins are going to stay the Redskins. Spoiler alert, probably not. So, yes, Jaden, say something to the people.
Yeah, 1306 Mania. Andrew already talked about it, but we're working really hard trying to build that branch of our Instagram world and bunch of fun stuff on there, man. Bunch of fun stuff. We celebrated Canada Day really well, so if you're Canadian... You would be really proud of what we did before us not being Canadian. So I think we did
just like Chris Jericho.
Yeah, just like Chris Jericho, not Canadian, very surprising, but does support the red and white very well. We do polls, we do trivia, we do happy birthdays for professional wrestlers throughout the industry. We do breaking news. A lot of breaking news has been going on now, especially through the back end of COVID.
Yeah.
And how a lot of things have been moving, speaking out movement, everything like that. So if you really want to stay in touch with the breaking news, I really, really implore you to follow 1306 Mania. We're really on top of a lot of things. So, yes, stay in touch and make sure you follow everything we mentioned.
Yeah, I actually did not know that Eric Young was going to be making an appearance in July. And you know where I learned that? 1306 Mania. Education. Let the people know. Anyway, thanks for listening. Stay safe. Wear a mask. Hasta la vista.